Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, everybody. It's Allie from the Hollywood Life podcast, and Bonnie and I have a lot to share. I'm like, there's a lot of news. There's a lot of news. So we are going to jump right into it because the morning kicked off with some breaking news that Stranger Things star Millie Bobby Brown is engaged to Jake Bon Jovi, right? Jake?
Yeah, Jake. Jake Bon Jovi.
I know his brother, Jesse Bon Jovi. So I always mess them up. My fiance went to high school with Jesse Bon Jovi. And so I guess
your fiance grew up in New Jersey then.
No, New York City. Jesse actually went to school in the city.
But he's like their father, their parents are kind of legendarily from New Jersey. Do they still live out there or do they have a place here in the city?
They have an apartment in the city where the kids grew up. Jesse and his sister, they went to school with my fiance. Jake didn't. Jake's obviously younger. So Jake's 20, Millie is 19. So they're like youngins getting, I was very, very surprised actually.
Well, I have to say, I do like waking up to a big positive news story. So often we wake up and oh my God, you know, something awful has happened, but this was really nice to wake up and go, whoa, wait. All our stories on Millie Bobby Brown and Jake Bon Jovi, they're charting, and then to find out about the engagement. And so I guess I'm surprised because they're so young. Like my mom was in the 50s, got married when she was 19, and Millie Bobby Brown is 19 and Jake is just 20. So they're a very young couple. They've been together a little over 2 years. However, their parents his parents, John Bon Jovi and Dorothea met originally in high school and I think they broke up a couple of times, but they were pretty much together since they were in high school. So I guess he saw young love work out.
Yeah. I mean, it's very interesting. I think that so Jesse Bon Jovi got engaged last summer. So his older brother, who's 28, is engaged and like probably planning their wedding. And so I think like already that's like a little, I told my brother he can't get engaged till after I'm married. I would kind of be like, what the heck, man? Like, dude, don't do that. But that was kind of weird to me. And then the other thing that I just, like you said, I mean, they're so young. I do think, however, that this industry that Millie specifically is in is very like you kind of want to lock something down. So I don't know if it necessarily means maybe that they're getting married in, you know, 6 years or whatever, or in 6 months. Like I think that they maybe
that would be a really long engagement
and do like a few years, but like it's just I don't know. It was weird. It was just I wasn't expecting it. Like I think there's other ways to prove you love somebody instead of like. But whatever, they're young, they can get married.
They're young and they're madly in love, clearly. And she's got a beautiful diamond engagement ring.
It's just like who I was when I was 19 isn't who I am at 28. And I don't know if I would want to be with the same person that I was with at 19 that I am at 28. You know, like you just, that's a very young age. You're not fully like grown up yet, but they've seen the world way differently than any of us have. And like, maybe they've seen enough of it that they know. So,
well, listen, Millie Bobby Brown has had a lot of very adult experiences. Like she's had an adult sized career already, between doing Stranger Things, which is into like its fourth or fifth season. And she's filmed movies. And I guess Jake has grown up in a very, sophisticated environment. He's seen a lot at a young age too. But I agree with you that you change a lot when you're 19 or 20. But I thought it was so interesting how they captioned, they both announced their engagement on their own Instagrams, and how under Millie it said, "I've been with you for 3 summers and I want to make them forever."
It's a Taylor Swift lyric, yes, from Lover, yes, where she said, "I've loved you 3 summers, honey, and I want them all." So that was hers.
And then he did, he said forever with a blue heart emoji. And on the, so they've clear, like they've thought about the fact that they really are enjoying this relationship so much that they want it to be forever. And I have to say that even though, of course, I know at 19, I was much different than I was at 28, to take that. I mean, I got married at 26, so different than I was at 26.
Yeah.
On the other hand, there's lots of times I feel like I've been with my husband ever since. I love him so much that I really wish I hadn't wasted time with anybody else. Like that I just wish I had those extra 7 years with him. Mm-hmm. So I can, yeah, kind of understand that.
I get that too. But then I also am such a believer in like right place, right time, right time, like right person, wrong time situation. And so I just, you know, I hope that, I mean, they seem really happy. They seem really healthy for each other. Like you never hear anything or any
issues. Drama.
Yeah. Like you just, they kind of stay under the radar and like have their fun and travel and, you know, do a lot with the Bon Jovi family. It seems like the Bon Jovi family is very tight knit because John and Jesse work together on their wine company and they do a lot together and they still have the house in New Jersey. So I'm sure Millie maybe like enjoys that and appreciates that. And yeah, I mean, I'm happy for them if it's right for them.
What does Jake do? Like Millie Bobby has got, you know, an exploding career. And you know, we clearly know what's ahead for her, but what Hollywood Life, we did research to write about him and, you know, he was supposed to go to college. I'm not sure if he did go to college. We really couldn't find anything else out about what he's doing professionally and if he has established what he wants to do. Like, I thought maybe he was acting as well, but I couldn't find anything. Maybe he's working on music with his dad. What do you know anything through your connections?
So he went to Pennington,
right, High School
in New Jersey.
Yes.
Played football there. He was supposed to go to Syracuse to play football. His brother Jesse went to Notre Dame. So Jesse and Rich played football together at Poly Prep in Bay Ridge. So Jake was supposed to go play football. And it seems like either he deferred or met Millie and decided not to go, because he clearly met her. If it was 2 summers ago, it was like around when he was 18, like he would have been going to college. And so I don't know if he deferred to like travel the world with her, but he's definitely not in school. But like you said, like, I don't know if he's a singer, if he's trying to act, we haven't really seen him in anything, like, or if he's riding like on her coattails. Like Jesse, his brother, started Hampton Water, which is a wine company that he and John both do together. It doesn't really necessarily seem like Jake does too much.
Right. And what about his older sister? What's she doing?
Well, the older sister had a very severe drug problem.
Right. I remember that.
So
John spoke out about that.
Yes. So she, I think, is very much out of the spotlight, does a lot with her recovery. Like it was very recent, I think, that she finally kind of got very clean.
Yeah. She went back to school because I think he talked about that.
Yeah. You know, it looks like Jake does some acting here and there. Like he has an IMDb page. So I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. But listen, sometimes, you know, maybe he's going to be, I mean, in every relationship, I've believe in this. I heard about this and I believe in it. In every relationship, there is a flower and a gardener.
I told you this.
I've heard it before you.
No, I told you this. I said this.
I've done quizzes about this.
I knew this.
Okay. It's out there. So she could be the flower and he's the gardener. And maybe she's a flower she must have so many demands on her. And just to keep her schedule with everything that's going on, you know, maybe he is the gardener that enables her, like has really taken on a role to enable her to do her work and concentrate on that. And that can be a big role. And there's lots of marital partnerships in the Hollywood world that are like that.
I mean, definitely.
Often it's the flipped, but hey, this is the modern world and that doesn't, you know, there's no sexism here. And so maybe he's the gardener and really helps her.
Yeah.
Look at Jessica Simpson's husband. He really supports all her business ventures.
Right.
So,
keeps her
safe. Yeah.
Definitely. And I think, you know, and maybe like also like his family serves as that too, because they are, like I said, like very family oriented and do a lot together. And I don't really know her family situation, but I think that like they really have always seemed very, very happy and cute together. Mm-hmm. So that's good.
And he's really cute. I mean, she's gorgeous, but he is adorable.
So I guess we will see. But another couple that is not together anymore. That was a big, big breaking announcement.
That was surprising.
That
surprised me.
And Joe Alwyn. It actually didn't surprise me because I could never see them together.
Really? Why? Yeah.
I like have seen Joe at award shows and stuff, and he's just like not. Like she's such a star. Not that I'm saying that she needs, like, similarly, we just have like Jessica Simpson. And in this case, like, you know, she doesn't need somebody who's like her equivalent by any means, but he almost seemed so like somebody who like wanted to be a star in his own right, but like didn't have the star power to necessarily do it. Like he doesn't command a room type thing, but he was like present and he was doing his job and he was around and he was working. And so it kind of like how I saw him fits with the latest People magazine report that says that he like couldn't necessarily handle her level of fame. So
well, I think that's a pretty hard level of fame for anyone to cope with. I mean,
it is
a monster talent and a monster star. With also talk about demands. I mean, she's, you know, a singer, a songwriter, producer. She's re-recording all of her LPs. She stands up for women. You know, she's touring. Like there's tremendous amount of, there's just a tremendous amount on her shoulders. And I mean, she's incredibly talented. But when you say that, you saw him at award shows. I've not seen him or the pair of them in person. I don't know how, you know, she is in person. Did you feel like he didn't look happy? Did he not seem supportive?
They were never together.
I see.
They never walked red carpets or anything together. They've never
right.
put themselves out there like that. He was very like, I don't want to say like small, like he like kind of just like made himself like a wallflower. He was a little bit of a wallflower. Like he didn't like command a space. He didn't, he barely even walked the carpet. Like he took a few pictures and like went in and sat down. Like that wasn't to me, like somebody who was like confident enough to like be with somebody like Taylor Swift. And that's what I was kind of trying to say, that I think it takes a certain type of confidence and a certain mm-hmm. type of person who is sure of themselves to be with somebody like Taylor Swift. And, you know, I think that there's a difference between being like sure of yourself, like John Mayer is, and kind of like, you know, overly confident and a little bit selfish and wanting to be the flower versus somebody mm-hmm. like Shania Twain's husband, who is like, go off queen, like love you, supporting you there in every show with you. And like, but I don't need to be the center of attention because like, that's all you and you deserve it. Like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
he didn't have.
Well, not everybody likes to be at all on in public, like just doesn't like it. Right. I mean, because his movie career is certainly going very well, you know, and he projects on screen and everything. But I mean, also, I'm just looking at pictures on Hollywood Life of Jake Bon Jovi with Millie. And when they're on a carpet, like he is looking at her with so much love and pride. He's so proud of her.
Yeah.
You see it right there. And I think that, you know, for a celebrity couple to work, they have to feel that way about each other. I mean, look at Pierce Brosnan and his wife, Keely. I mean, she used to be an actress. She kind of retired to raise their family. But I mean, he just glows when he looks at her and, you know, you see them out together and they're on a carpet together. Like he's just, the love is so evident.
Right. Jen and Ben, we talked about it a few times, that he literally praises the ground she walks on. He talks about how smart she is, how this, how that, you know, just how brilliant of a person and a mom.
And he's so happy to say, my wife.
And like, he couldn't do that 15 years ago, 20 years ago. And like, now he can, and maybe Joe like can't right now and he'll be able to, you know, one day in the future. But, you know, I think that that's that, like, I just never really saw them together. Like she either needs somebody who is like a very normal person that is very confident. Like similarly, like Rich and I, like I always talk about this, how he has no social media. He knows nothing about celebrities or anything. And he thinks like the work that I do and what I do and when I go to carpets is like the coolest thing in the world. And he is not fazed by it at all. He's not
intimidated,
anything like
he's
that.
Just proud of you.
Yeah. And he thinks it's cool. And he thinks like, it's just like such a cool job that I get to do and that I'm good at it. And so if she finds somebody like that, who again, could be a normal person and just doesn't care about the limelight and this and that, then like that would work for like a normal person in Nashville or something like that, that just kind of tags along, or somebody who can handle, again, like her level of fame. Like I'll be interested to see Chase Stokes and Kelsey Ballerini.
Yeah. Well, that's a very interesting couple, Chase and Kelsey, because, you know, they both got big careers going. Mm-hmm. And they both seem, you know, they're a new couple, but very supportive of each other. And like, he's on her on the carpet. And again, it's the same thing. Like Jake, he's looking at her like he's just so proud of her when she was at the Country Music Awards and when she was up there with the drag queens. And also when she spoke out about Nashville, he's fully there supporting her. Yep. Well, listen, for a couple though, that didn't have that, they lasted like about 7 years. So it's a long time. And he helped her write a number of songs. So, you know, they're going to have lasting business relationship on those songs.
I know. That's interesting to me. And it's interesting that she like switched out playing them, I think, in the most recent set of her tour. What the People report had said too about their split was that he was there for her when she was kind of retreating from the public. And so that happened during like the Reputation era, and then the pandemic happened. And so they were just really hunkered down together. And then she was writing, and then she was, you know, not really touring much yet. And then now this is her big tour, and he never really, what the report said is that he never really got to see Taylor be Taylor, because it was always these like circumstances where she wasn't necessarily able to be Taylor. And now she is like at full capacity. And he, like, they just, what the report had said was that it was like their personalities just did not work together. And like, that was a long time kind of coming.
She does like tall men with accents.
She likes blondes too, like light colored hair, I feel like.
Although Tom Hiddleston, who was her previous boyfriend, he's got dark hair. But, you know, so Joe had the British accent. Tom was tall, British accent. Calvin Harris, blonde and Scottish, right?
Yep.
And who was before that? I mean, she was with John Mayer for a very short time, and she was with Taylor from Twilight. He was so nice. Like, he really liked her.
Nice. She had like a little fling, I think, at one point with Harry Styles, right? She had a little fling with
Harry. Oh, Harry. Another accent. And he's tall too. Yeah. Brown hair, though.
I mean, I think that, I don't know. I hope she finds somebody. She's definitely a romantic. I think it's going to be hard, honestly, but like, I hope she does.
Yes, I really hope she does. And I hope she freezes her eggs, because I'm sure she wants to have kids. And I love that advice that Priyanka came out with. Who didn't find the right person, you know, until her, like, she got married at 38, I think. Mm-hmm. And, but she just recently spoke out about how she froze her eggs when she was in her early 30s, and that she thinks that all women, if they can afford it, which of course Taylor can, should do that, so that that doesn't have to be an issue for them, and that they can wait to find the right person. And look at Priyanka waited, and she ended up with, again, somebody who just worships the ground she walks on, and they're equals with Nick Jonas. And he's very self-confident on his own, but he just, you know, is so supportive of her, but someone you would never expect them to be a couple.
Right. Nope. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we have to move on quickly to Chloe and Tristan as well, because someone that we didn't expect to ever be a couple again, like, what's happening? Am I going to have to go to Calabasas and grab her?
What is happening? Her.
And tape her down and be like, and show her the footage of all the reasons why she shouldn't ever go back to him. She said that she hasn't, but like, they keep being spotted together. Now he's going to the Lakers, supporting that. Like, I won't be able. It's the definition of insanity, Bonnie.
Yeah. Yeah, I love how you think you're going to have to go, and you're just going to have to kidnap her. And you'll have to do, like, what is it when you do those, when they kidnap people who've become part of a cult, that you have to deprogram her.
Yeah,
I do a Tristan deprogramming by Ali Stagnita. And so what happened is that news came out that Tristan is going to be on the Lakers, has signed a deal to join the Lakers. And I'm sure that he was working on that because he does want to be near his kids, because he's now got four kids that are all in LA. He's got True, and we still don't know the name of his baby son with Chloe. And then he's got Prince, who's, I think, about six, that he had with another girlfriend. And then he has Theo, and we don't know if he sees Theo yet. Hopefully he does, who's the baby boy that he had with Marilee Nichols. I suspect that he does see him, because Chloe really wanted him to have a relationship with that baby, who's his son. And so I'm sure he wanted to be near his kids, which is great.
Yeah.
But it just seems that he has been spending more time with Chloe. And, you know, she said he's a great parent, which is, we're glad to hear that he's very involved with at least, you know, her two children with him and with Prince.
Right.
I'm like with you. I suspect that there's more going on.
Well, after his mom had passed, you know, that does bring people together. Absolutely. And she was being very supportive of him.
Very. The whole family was. They all went up to Toronto.
I definitely don't blame them. Like, that was so tragic, so heartbreaking, so sad. He has young brothers, and, you know, they definitely should be their support and take care. But at the same time, like, you can't, like, a tiger doesn't change his stripes. You can't forget the multiple times that he has hurt, from the Jordan Woods thing when she was 8 months pregnant.
Yeah, to me, that would be not forgivable.
No. And before that, there were videos, like, even before the Jordan thing, there were videos of him in the club with, like, all these other girls in New York City, and like,
bouncing around engaged
hotels. And then, you know, fast forward, they're trying to have another child together, and he impregnates another woman, like, right after the insemination. Like, what are you thinking? And it's like, how after the multiple times, the numbness that he's made you feel, and the like, at that point, it's your fault. At that point, it's on you.
Well, it just must make your self-esteem be so, it's so hurtful to your self-esteem that you're involved with a man who cannot stay true, which he named his daughter, which Chloe and he named his daughter, that he cannot stay true to you and to the family that you've made together.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's awful. It's so bad. They keep being spotted out together. Like they went to McDonald's. They like, you know, he's obviously around. And Chloe does say like, he's just co-parenting. He's like, you know, we're really great co-parents. There's nothing that's ever going to happen, ever going to happen, ever going to happen. But like, it's been like a lot recently.
And she's not dating. We never see her out with anyone else, even though she said that Kim is setting her up with people. Yeah.
So I'm keeping an eye on it. I'm excited for the new season of The Kardashians to come out because I do think that we'll get, Chloe said that we'll get more information on her baby, the baby boy, and like how life's been going with him and like his name and all of those things. So maybe we'll see stuff with Tristan play out and get some more answers. Like usually they keep their mouths closed about things like that before the season's coming out. So we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, Chloe has referred to it multiple times. We talked about like her birthday post to him, how he's really promising to change as a man and like that his mom as guardian angel sees that. And like, he's vowed to be better, but I'm like, Chloe, do not fall for that. Like he might be vowed to be better. And like, that's great for him. Like, and he can be a good dad and he can be a good person and that's fine. But like, not for you, Chloe.
Well, it's like more than three times that this has happened. And I don't know, the Jenner girls just have not had a lot of luck with love. Like Courtney finally seems to have found true love with Travis Barker, but she's over 40 and she already had three kids with Scott Disick.
Right.
But look at Kim.
Which was also like a balanced relationship. Courtney's really like Scott, like had his ups and downs and stuff for sure. But like that was pretty normal as it gets for the Kardashians.
The Kardashians. I mean, the guy had drug issues and also completely abandoned her after Rain was born. And she had and wasn't around when Penelope was really little. So I don't know. I think that was a very dysfunctional relationship. And, you know, then Kim has had four marriages now that have not worked out.
Yeah.
And
my friend saw Kanye yesterday when she was in LA.
Uh-huh.
Was at a restaurant with
new Bianca. Wife.
Yeah,
the new wife. And, you know, Kylie's now had two babies with Travis Scott, who can't commit. And so far, Kendall's the only one who's not, you know, has not gotten married, engaged or married to anybody or had babies.
Right. Learned from her sisters, I think.
I hope so. Like, come on, you know, you guys are brilliant and beautiful and successful. You don't have to, you need people in your lives that are, you know, love you for you and are there for you all the time.
Well, and the same can be said for Taylor Swift and all of these women in Hollywood. So we're just going to have to wait and see, but Courtney and Travis's wedding special is out today or in a few days, Friday, either today or Friday. And that is sure to be a beautiful spectacle that we'll get to see. There are three weddings that they had. So we'll see what.
Yeah. I don't blame Courtney. She was never married before.
Yeah.
So, you know, why not have three weddings?
Absolutely.
You finally get married to the right person.
Agreed. Well, guys, that is it for today. We have a wonderful interview with the amazing Amanda Kloots coming up next. She talks about her new book, Tell Me Your Dreams, and so many other wonderful things about remembering her late husband, Nick Cordero, life with her son, Elvis, and more projects she's working on. So stay tuned.
Stay tuned. We have a wonderful guest today, a friend of the show. Can't wait to talk about her latest venture and, of course, with her. But before we do that, let me introduce my co-anchor, Allie Stagnita. Hey, Allie.
Hi, Bonnie. I'm so excited to have this guest. As always, she is one of my favorites to follow on social media, favorites to take her fun dance classes whenever she's teaching in the city. And just, I love everything about her. So I'm excited to have her on to talk about such an exciting new step in her career. And Bonnie, I'll let you introduce her.
Okay. And yes, I want to go to her dance class too. and so everybody welcome Amanda Klutz. Hey, Amanda.
Hi guys. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're so happy to have you. And you've got such a busy schedule between co-hosting the talk and doing your dance classes. And now you have a new book that you have written called Tell Me Your Dreams. And Allie and I have had a chance to look at it. It's so beautiful.
Thank you.
And we'd love you to tell us about it and how it came to be. Of course, you have a young son, Elvis. I'm sure that, well, he's kind of a star in the book.
He is a star in the book and definitely influenced this story just by, you know, being a parent and going through our different bedtime routines that we do with our children. And this was one of the routines that we started doing where I was telling him his dreams. And I just started incorporating all the things that he loved, which was trash trucks and airplanes and choo-choo trains. And then I started incorporating the idea that on these dreams, on these adventures, he got to go with dad and he got to have this time with his dad that, you know, he didn't get to have on Earth, but he could always visit with him in his dreams and go on and go and do and believe in anything.
It's so beautiful. And I love your post the other day of the last page where he says, I love you, Dada. And that I was a mess. Like I just read it over and over again. And I think that it's just such a beautiful tribute, not only to, of course, your late husband, but just to your son and to carry those memories and these dreams with him the rest of his life, really.
I felt the same way, Allie. I felt so, it's so funny how, you know, sometimes you do things and then you don't really in time, you don't really realize what you're doing. And then after a little while you process it and you're like, oh, wow. I feel so lucky that this book exists now because especially as parents, we do all these things and we create all these things just to like keep our children engaged and alive.
Right.
And we forget what we do. You know what I mean? Because life goes on and a new pattern happens and a new routine starts happening. And so I feel so lucky to have this book like printed and published and in my hands because it's a time capsule. It's like, I'll always get to remember that precious time in with Elvis where we would sit in his rocking chair and I would tell him his dreams. And I just feel so lucky to have that now.
Yeah,
that's so true. It's like that you are capturing a time in his life. And I think it's really smart because now I know Allie doesn't have kids yet, but I have four and it does in retrospect go like a flash.
Yeah.
And so this is just so, you know, such a great idea. And I also think, you know, it's beautiful how you have kind of been able to nurture and create and grow a relationship for little Elvis, who I think he's three, right? He's three with his father, Nick Cordero, who passed away, unfortunately, from complications from COVID. But this way, he's building this relationship through your talk about his dreams and now this book.
You know, I hope so, because I feel so sad that he didn't get to have a lot of time with Nick on Earth. You know, I mean, in reality, I only got 5 years with Nick on this earth. And, but Elvis, you know, he was 10 months old when Nick went into the hospital. So he doesn't have any memories of his father. And so it was just a way of trying to encourage Elvis that he can still make memories with his dad. And, you know, Nick has visited me 3 times in my dreams. Wow. And they've been very vivid and very clear, and they feel very real. And so I do believe that Elvis sees dad in his dreams, and that they go and do stuff together, because I just believe it. And I just want to encourage him and other children from a very young age that when they go to sleep, that these magical things can happen. And, you know, whether it's like you want to believe that you're going to dream to be an astronaut, or that you get to meet up with people that you've lost in your life and go do things with them, you know, anything can happen in your dreams.
I also think it's a great way, dreams and talking to kids about their dreams is a great way for these, you know, young people to like process their emotions. Like, these are really big, kids feel so much and they feel big emotions. They don't necessarily know how to articulate them or to process them. And this is such a great way, through reading, through talking about it, and for them to be able to, like, I don't know, to validate their emotions even, I think. Like, does Elvis kind of understand that as well when you talk about it?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I mean, he's starting to be at this age where he is telling me a lot of things that he's thinking and feeling, and even like the big emotions that he has, like, he doesn't know what to do with them. And I always have to be like, are you angry right now? And he'll be like, yes. And I'm like, okay, all right, well then be angry. It's okay. Tell me why you're angry. And so it's very funny to see them, exactly what you said, like to see them have this big emotion or this idea and not know how to describe it or deal with it or process it. And then you're the parent that's trying to be like, okay, hold on. Let me try to help. Let me see what I can do. But I think you're right. You know, like in dreams, nothing's too big. You know what I mean? Nothing's unexplainable. So you just, it's a fun place to go with a child, because like the book says, anything can happen, and you can do anything, and you can believe anything, and you can see anyone. So it's fun.
You know, I can remember, I have recollections still of from when I was 3. I'm not sure if I have any from when I was younger, but definitely from when I was 3. Do you guys? So
I don't know. I'm trying to think of like when my like youngest memory is, and I don't know. And I feel like it's later. I'm jealous that you had 3 years old. I hope that Elvis has 3 years old memories. I think mine are like 5 and 6.
Mine are like 5 also, kind of like that kindergarten age. But like, then I see photos and I'm like, oh, I kind of like that, you know? Yeah,
but you know, this book, I think will serve, like Ali said, as it will kind of serve as a way for him to remember. Like, I think it will help him remember these times when he sat in your lap and you had these conversations with him, because he's going to grow up with this book and it'll plant it in his memory.
I hope so. I really do. I mean, I think that's such a beautiful concept, and I really do hope, because I, you know, especially right now, Elvis and I, we're just like this little team, and it's just the two of us at the house. And you know, I hope one day that, you know, there's more children around, or that there's a male figure in our lives. I really do. But right now it's just the two of us, and this is our routine, and this is what we've created. And so I do hope that he remembers through this book this time that, you know, it was just, you know, him and I. And every night we would cuddle up into each other, and I would tell him his dreams. I love that idea.
Does he ask you now to like tell him his dreams? Yeah. Like, does he jump in your lap and he's like, okay, time to tell me your dreams?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. And if for some reason I forget, he's like, Mom, you didn't tell me my dreams. And whoever babysits him, I have to tell them, okay, so just so you know, you got to create a dream.
Oh, that's so cool. And now, how often do you, you've got the book now. So does he want to read it every night and look at the pictures?
He does. And he knows his part, like, you know, because Elvis has lines in this book, just like when we're sitting in the rocking chair at home and I say, do you want me to tell you your dreams? And he says, yes. So he knows his lines. So I'm like, and the trash truck appears in your room. What color is it? And he goes, green. Airplane lands. Where do you go? The beach. Like he loves reading it because he knows that it's him. First of all, he knows like that's Elvis and he knows it's Dada. And he knows that all of the favorite things of his life are in this book. So it's really sweet.
And kids do like having books read over and over and over, the same books.
Yep. This is why, because I know this from being a parent, I made sure that the book was very short lines on every page because I thought, I am the parent that if there's a paragraph on each page, I'm like, can we take another book? Right. Because I know you're going to want me to read it 20 times in a row. Yeah. So let's keep it to the short ones. So I just thought it was, you know, a very, I love children's books. And I think children's books are very much for adults as they are for children. Yeah. And I think that especially this day and age, something very short and clear and honest and just has a beautiful message is just really important. So that's what I tried to do with this book.
Yeah. I actually do remember like when we're talking about childhood memories, when I was a kid, I would try to pick the longest books. Yeah. So I didn't have to go to bed. I would be like, oh, like Harry Potter or like something. Yeah. Like a really big book when I was like four.
And smart.
Probably couldn't even tell you what it said in it, but I was like, this one.
Yeah. Smart. That's really
smart. I think my mom would be like, we can read 5 pages of it. And I'd be like, no. But that's so fun.
Amanda, the drawings, the illustrations are so beautiful.
Cute.
Did you illustrate it?
No, absolutely not. No, I have an incredible illustrator, Alex Wilmore, and I was so lucky to have him. He just is, you know, these illustrators, they look at your words and then they create the vision, right? And you never talk to them. It's all through, you know, through the publisher and everything. It's I feel so blessed because I feel like everything that I thought in my head, he like really just nailed in the drawings, and the illustrations are so on point with everything that I was hoping for the story. So I feel very lucky. He was wonderful. So yeah. Colorful and happy. Yes. And dreamlike. And I love it. He captured the spirit for sure.
So beautiful. And I love that obviously the Elvis character really does resemble him with this little
girl. Yes.
So cute. Is there anything else that you guys do at home to keep Nick's memory alive and just, you know, making sure that Elvis has that connection with him?
Yeah. You know, it's so funny. The other night we were talking and, you know, again, like it's ever changing because Elvis, especially right now at 3, like they just are a sponge and he's growing and learning and saying new things every day. But he's very much into what he has that is mine or Dada's. So he said to me, he goes, I have your nose. And I go, you do. And I go, but you have Dada's eyes. And he goes, yeah. And then I go, and you have Dada's long legs. And he was like, but you have long legs. I go, I do. So it was really sweet. I mean, that's just like an example. I feel like every day we somehow bring Nick into our lives. I've just made it very apparent from day one that, you know, he's around us. He's with us. You know, Elvis loves music and he especially loves like old bands from the 70s, which would just make Nick the happiest person in the entire world. So, you know, every time he plays music, I always talk about Nick and how much Nick loved to sing and play the guitar. And, he's just always around. I've just kind of tried to really make him, you know, believe that Dad is gone, but always with us.
Yeah. And, you know, he does look so much like a blend of the two of you. Yeah. And you see both of you so clearly in his, like his face, his hair. Yes. His long legs, everything. Yeah. It's really interesting. In your dreams, I don't know if you can tell us, like when Nick has come to you, has he had a message? Does he give you? Yeah. Oh, you're nodding. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. He has. The first dream I ever had about Nick was a year after his passing to the day. And he was, we were at this like party and we were all sitting in this circle and he was very happy. And I remember asking him why he's happy. And he said, "Why wouldn't I be happy? This is my birthday. I get to come back and celebrate with all the people that I love." And I remember waking up and being like, oh my gosh, he just reframed his death day with a new birthday. Like he was telling me, Amanda, I'm not sad today. You should not be sad today. In fact, on every July 5th, you're not sad. It's my new birthday. Mm-hmm. And it just completely reframed that day in a positive light for me. And then the last dream that I had of him, he was telling me how, he's like, you gotta just stay with it. You're going to have a big shift really soon. It's going to be a big shift. So just stay with it. Cause I was going through kind of just like a very stressful moment in life. And so he like sent me that message. So yeah, he's orchestrating things up there.
Yeah, he sounds like guardian angel, right? Just like you say to Elvis, right there with you guys in all that you do.
Oh yeah.
And it does seem like you have been doing so much when it comes to your career and work right now, but beyond writing the book, you had your Christmas movie on CBS. You're obviously doing
this
every day. What else is coming up for you that you are going to do?
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you. You know, I have a lot of projects. My ever since I did that Christmas movie where, you know, I created the idea and then produced it and then helped it like come together and it actually happened, I've been very addicted to that model of like creating something from scratch and trying to make it happen. So I have a lot of projects that I've been creating with Anna White, who wrote Fit for Christmas with me. And then my little sister, Anna, and I, another Anna, we've been working on the screenplay of Live Your Life, which is the book that we wrote together, the memoir about my husband and I. And so we're working on, you know, getting that screenplay, hopefully to be a feature film. So that's in the works. So those are the next two, like kind of big things.
Well, those are both really big things. And you still have your co-anchor, co-host on the talk. And that must just keep you, I mean, that's really demanding.
It is. That's a big job. I mean, you don't realize how big of a job being on TV live every day is. And it's a lot. You got to, you know, show up. You got to, no matter what life brings you that morning, you still got to go live on television at 11 and put a smile on your face and, you know, have, you know, all the personality in the world to meet people and radiate through the television. So it's a lot. It's a lot of work. I love the job though.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, go ahead, Ali.
I was just going to say lots of prep for the interview every day. A few people knew every day, not to mention like the current events, like you guys really are on top of it.
Yes. Yeah. You got to stay in the know.
To get up and to do that every day at 11, what time do you have to get up in order to prep?
Oh, well, luckily I, again, this is where this is like the job of, winning the lottery. Elvis wakes me up around 6:45, 7, but I don't get to work until like 9:30. So it's pretty good. I mean, we're on, there's lots of emails and, you know, information that comes my way first thing in the morning, but, you know, I kind of prep all of that at home and then we start getting on Zooms for work around 8:30 and then I get there at 9:30.
And do you know the day before or, you know, in advance, a few days before on guests so that you can prep ahead?
Yes. Yeah. They give us some good leeway on those guests so that we can, you know, watch their newest episode or the movie or read the book or listen to the song. They, you know, prep us and make sure that we know what's coming up.
Awesome. When you're talking about working with your sister, Anna, on the screenplay, she is in Paris. Everyone kind of refers to her as almost like the real life Emily in Paris.
She is the real life Emily in Paris. She is.
For our listeners, we have her coming on the podcast in a few weeks to talk about her new book.
Oh, good.
But how, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to ask how that dynamic works, like with her in Paris, you in LA, that is a massive time difference. Yes. And you guys are trying to work together. How does that work?
Well, luckily Anna is able to travel a lot, and she and I kind of, we meet up and then we like knock it out of the park, because it is very hard with our schedules and the time change to work over Zoom. We were doing that. And then honestly, it just is easier if, like, you know, over Christmas, we took a week and we kind of just locked ourselves in a room and worked on the second draft of Live Your Life every day from 12 to 6. And then we were just in Mexico together, and every night we sat down and we worked on the screenplay, because we know that time is precious when we're together. So we work. And it's fun working with her, because we know each other so well that, like, we know what we're going to say. We are able to bounce ideas off of each other really easily. We can get into an argument, but we easily get out of it. It's fun. I'm grateful that I get to work with her on projects, because it ensures that I see her and I get to spend more time with her.
You're lucky. I mean, not all siblings get along like that. So
I know.
Really, really lucky.
I know.
You know, you're in New York. I'm not sure how long you're here for, but are you going to, you've been on Broadway. You love Broadway. Nick was on Broadway. Are you seeing some plays, some shows?
I get to see one tonight. I'm so excited. Uh-huh. I'm going to go see New York, New York, which is Susan Stroman's new musical. It opens, I think, on the 26th of April. So it's like heavy into previews. I have a lot of friends in it. Of course, Susan Stroman's a huge, you know, big friend of mine. And it's at the St. James Theater, which is where Nick and I did Bullets Over Broadway. So there's a lot of memories and love there. I'm very, very excited to go see it. I haven't seen a Broadway show since the reopening of Waitress, which was September 2020, I think, or 2021. I'm very overdue for a Broadway show, and I can't wait to see it. I'm so excited. There's nothing like going into a theater and seeing a Broadway show, especially when your friends are on stage, you know, dancing and singing their hearts out.
Nothing like it, especially when it had been taken away for so long. It's such a special moment.
Gotta support our theaters.
They have been packed. I've been going
good
the last few weeks. Things have been, oh my gosh, they're packed on like a Tuesday night, and it's so good to see.
So there's so much to see. I mean, I hate that I can only see one show, because there's so many that I want to see that I'm like, and you know, you just want to support everybody and see everything, and there's not enough time.
You know, and you just said everything's back, but it looked like for so long with the pandemic that Broadway was going to be another casualty, because it was dark for so long. Like, that's just never happened before. All of the people whose work depended on it, you know, guess luckily there was extra unemployment money, but that was such a hard time for the whole Broadway community.
Yeah, a lot of my friends had to leave the city. They couldn't afford to stay in their apartments. And, you know, you lose your insurance when you're not working. So then you have no insurance. And then it's COVID and you're worried about if you get sick and you don't have insurance. So it was really terrifying. And you're right. It doesn't just affect actors. It affects musicians and, you know, the stagehands and the costumes and the dry cleaners that, you know, dry clean the costumes. And I mean, it was so many people affected by COVID. There's a beautiful documentary that I'm in slightly called Broadway is Rising. And Jesse Tyler Ferguson is one of the makers behind it, and his husband, Justin. It's a beautiful documentary about how Broadway came back after that. So plug that little bit. It's a good one.
And Oh, go ahead, Allie.
I was just going to ask if you had any plans or wanted to in the future to return to Broadway or something.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I never say never anymore because you just never know what life is going to bring you. I would love to. I feel like I'd be terrified to go back to Broadway. You know, it's such a muscle when you're on Broadway and you're auditioning and you're doing it. It's like, you don't think twice about it. And then as soon as you remove yourself from it, especially now living in Los Angeles and looking at it from like the West Coast, I'm like, how did I do that? How did I do eight shows a week? And my work hours were 6:30 till 11 o'clock at night. And you have no weekends and you have no holidays. It's like, you look at it and you're like, what was I thinking? That's bonkers. How does anybody survive? So I look at it now in awe. So I totally would. I'm never going to say no to going back to Broadway because that community and is the best in the entire world. But I would be terrified. I'm not going to lie. It would be like, okay, I'm to put my thick skin back on.
Buckle up. I know, but I'm sure that you could do it. Maybe like a Live Your Life Broadway rendition after it's a big feature film.
You never know.
No, I could totally. I predict you will be back in a starring role.
Oh my gosh.
It's not like you haven't kept in shape. I mean, we see your dance classes on Instagram.
You know, dancing is, it always brought me so much joy. And for some reason, you know, life takes over and you stop doing it. And it's been so fun just dancing again and just dancing for myself with, you know, a group of women in a class. It's really thrilling. And it's also, you know, I'm so used to being the teacher from my fitness classes, that it's so wonderful to go to a class and be the student again, and just be there to learn and to enjoy and to be surrounded by that atmosphere and 60 females that are just there to like cheer you on. And it's like such a woman empowerment kind of thing. So I'm really, really enjoying my hour of dance class again every week. It's really fun.
And it's fun to be a sponge. And like when you, like, I'm such an advocate for just always learning. I think I get bored if I'm not learning something. And so it's like a great kind of brain exercise too. I'm sure that you just feel like rejuvenated and doing something for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or Elvis related, you know?
Yes. It's so true. It's so nice to just go do something for yourself that is like a small amount of your day, but brings you so much joy. It's really important.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing, and I know we got to let you go, but another thing too, is that I think is so interesting is that there's TV shows now that are like Broadway productions. Like we have Glee.
Right.
But now I saw Pink Ladies is starting.
And Schmigadoon.
Schmigadoon. So funny. And it's like watching a Broadway show.
It's really cool. And it's really fun to see that translate into, you know, film and TV, because a lot of times when you're on Broadway, you feel separate from that world, from that TV film world. And it's really fun to see it kind of merge together in these different things, because I think to bring song and dance and acting into people's homes is so important, because not everybody can go to the theater. Not everybody lives close to a theater. Not everybody can afford the theater. So it's really cool to be able to sit on your couch, but also get that experience on a TV.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get up to a whole new audience.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Next screenplay for you and Hannah is a show like that.
Yeah.
Like I'm even thinking, you know, Leah Michelle, she's on Broadway now, but not everyone's getting to see her in Funny Girl. They got to turn that into a TV show.
Yes, I agree. I know. I would love to see her in Funny Girl. It's another one on my list I really want to see.
Me too. So many. Ben Platt. So many. Well, in the meantime, we'll catch you next time you're back in New York City. Thank you so much for joining us today, Amanda. Congratulations on the release of
Tell Me Your Dreams.
Thank you. Yes. And wait, where can our audience and our readers, where can they buy Tell Me Your Dreams?
And buy Tell Me Your Dreams in any bookstore, and of course on Amazon and all the, you know, websites, barnesandnoble.com and all the websites.
Is it for sale now? They can.
It is for sale today.
Okay. Okay. Yep. Anyone who's listening, birthdays, you got birthdays coming up, friends expecting babies.
Yes. Baby showers. Yes.
Yes.
Birthday.
Perfect gift.
Mother's Day.
Mother's Day. Oh, got it.
Thank you so much, guys.
All right.
Thank you, Amanda.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Good luck with everything and have a wonderful time here in New York.
Thank you so much. Bye, guys.
Bye.